One of the questions that is kind of pondered or thrown around as we move in these early days of this new season of ordinary time, the season of growth, is the whole question of what it is to be a good person, what it is to be a good human being, what it is to be in relationship to the Lord. That He's inviting people, He's healing people, He's instructing them, He's teaching them with the authority that we heard about last week. He's calling them into the very presence of Himself. So this thing of what is a good life? The problem is, for so many of us, is that we get so caught up in all of the things that are happening around us, all of the busyness, all of the craziness of things around us. We just keep moving. We're just going, let's focus from one thing to another. That it's difficult even just to find that space in our lives to even begin to look at these questions. What is life about? What is my life about? What are the things that are lacking? What are the things that I need more of in my life? You know, those the hashtags of so busy. Just, you know, it's a great way to dismiss all kinds of things. I can't do that right now because I'm just so busy. It's this strange kind of addiction that we have in our life, in our Western world, to be more busy than we can ever make use of or do anything about. This obsession that we have with busyness that drives us to be even more and more busy, never really questioning, is it helpful? Is it useful? Is it fruitful? Is it productive? Does it actually help us to live more productive, more valuable, more worthwhile lives? Well, I'm pretty sure that Jesus would have a pretty straight answer for that. Sure, He was very busy. There were people who were always kind of crowding around Him. We hear in the gospel today, the whole city was gathered at the door. And I love that image of people kind of reaching up, you know, wanting something from Jesus. They're wanting to be healed. They're wanting their evil spirits. Three times in the gospel tonight, we heard that He cast out demons. This authority, this power is so evident, is so clear. But all these people want something from Jesus. They're wanting to this sense of the presence of Jesus, this power that's available to them. And then we're told after He's done all this healing, you know, it's healing by the lake, it's healing in the house, it's healing on the streets, He's healing wherever He goes. But early in the morning, while it was still very dark, the gospel tells us, Jesus went away to this deserted place, a place where He could pray, a place where He could find that peace within Himself, that place where He could just experience that focus, that sense of orientation towards God. He needed that in His lives. You know, and if Jesus needed that space, if He needed to take that time away from all of the craziness and the busyness, I mean, we fool ourselves if we imagine that we don't also need that space to pray, that space to be in relationship with Jesus, just to be conscious of God. I mean, that's, in a sense, all that prayer is, just to lift our minds and hearts to God, in that sense of conscious friendship, conscious relationship with God. And so Jesus does that. Jesus is able to kind of refocus in the midst of this crazy day that He has just had. The last part of Mark's first chapter happens just in the span of a single Sabbath day. All of these healings, all of this teaching, all of this fuss, all of this bother, all of the crowds in the space of just a few hours. And so, of course, Jesus goes to be by Himself, to find this place to pray and to experience this new focus and this new direction in His life. He moves then to this call. Some of the disciples come to Him. And what do they say? Everybody is searching for You. And again, this crowd is wanting more of this. You know, this stuff that Jesus is able to offer, the goods that Jesus is able to hawk to them. You know, all of this new life, this freedom, this healing, all of these senses of liberation, all this joy, all this wonder. They want some more of that. You know, some of their friends that have heard about it and they've been healed, but their friends haven't. So the friends come dragging and clawing and wanting more of this from Jesus. But are they searching for God? Are they searching for true healing? Are they searching for that restoration that only God can offer to the depths of our soul? Or do they just want that quick fix? Do they just want that experience, that outward manifestation? And Jesus is happy to offer that healing, but he so longs that we will want more. He so longs that we will go deeper than just the outward fluff, the warm and fuzzy feeling. And one of the problems that I suspect as to why so few people come to Mass is that so many people just want something out of the church. And so they're happy in the midst of a crisis to turn to God, to find solace in God. But they're not prepared, like you are, to come each week and to experience in the midst of the ordinary, the doldrums and the monotony of discipleship. Because it's tough, it's hard work not to, you know, just be focused on those warm and fuzzy feelings, but to go into the depths of who we're called to be. And so strangely, Jesus doesn't go back to Capernaum. He doesn't go back to that particular village to offer more healing to the crowds there. He says, let's go to the neighboring towns. Let's keep moving. Let's go to another place. Even though there's a crowd, you know, it goes against all of the marketing, all of the sense. If you've got a crowd, why don't you go and work with them? But he says, no, I've done enough for this group. I need to keep moving. I need to keep my focus on this bigger sense of the mission and purpose for what he's about. Because Jesus always had this very clear orientation, this compass. We see it in this verse. We see it also especially in the Gospel of Luke. You might remember that there's two major sections to Luke's Gospel. In the second half, there is this journey to Jerusalem that is described, beginning at Luke 9, verse 51, where we're told that Jesus resolutely sets his face towards Jerusalem. And then again in chapter 13, in chapter 15, in chapter 17, in chapter 18, in chapter 19, we hear again that Jesus is doing these things because he's making his way to Jerusalem. There is this focus in Jesus that we see, this orientation towards God, towards goodness, towards the ultimate questions. He will do the fluff of healing. He will do all of those things that are necessary for us to be able to follow. But he looks for the deepest need, not just the things that we think we need in this present moment. This sense of orientation is so strong in Jesus, and he invites us to embrace that same gift, that freedom to say yes to the things that truly matter, but to say no to those things that don't, to cut through all of the rubbish, all of the stuff that threatens so often to, you know, surround us and so encapsulate us that we feel like we're drowning in all these good things that we're doing, and to free ourselves to be able to find that one necessary thing that we can focus on. There is this orientation, but there's also no sense of obligation. There's no sense of Jesus saying, well, I guess I should do this. Well, I guess, you know, there is that sense that people are wanting me to do that. There's no sense of force in Jesus. There's no sense of other people or these agendas or all of these things that seem to crowd in upon him. No, there's this freedom, this wonderful liberation that he's able simply to be before God. And it's that yes that he's made, the yes that Mary also made with the whole of her life to choose the will of God. And Jesus also embraces this and embodies that and calls us into that same freedom. And sometimes it means that we need to let go of things in order to take hold of the one necessary thing in our lives, that freedom that only God is able to offer to us. And it's this orientation of God, this truth and this freedom of God that we're being invited into tonight as we continue this journey of discipleship, as we continue to allow God to invite us into life. Let's indeed find that freedom. So may we also find that freedom to say no to what doesn't matter, to all those things that get in the road, just to say no to those. Because we've already said yes to what does. We've already said yes to all of those things that hold us and sustain us. Let's indeed be people that allow that grace and gift of God to be enough for us each day.